ask everybody to resume the forum, to come back to their seats, for the candidates to resume their seats. For those listening on the radio, once again, I want to let you know the forum is live in the Lovett Room of the Sublette County Library. There is seating out here still available if you'd like to come and see it in person. It gives you a chance after the forum is over to talk one-on-one with the candidates. Sublette County Library, talk louder is what you're saying. Okay, I'm getting a clue that I need to talk louder to say sit down is what he's saying. All right, I'll talk a little bit louder here so that we can maybe get everybody's attention to bring people back and resume the forum. Again, we're doing two different races tonight. We're doing House District 22, and we're doing Sublette County School District number 1. For people listening on the radio who would like to submit a question, the email address is forum@pinedaleonline.com. Once again, that is forum@pinedaleonline.com. I think we'll be picking this up in about 1 minute as the candidates are right now coming back in, taking their seats, and we're getting ready to resume and do the second half of our broadcast and forum tonight here in the county library. Just a couple of reminders to people who may be new to our area. The question might be, well, I did not register to vote. I guess I can't vote. No, you're in Wyoming, and in Wyoming, if you are a qualified elector, if you are qualified to vote, you can register at your polling place on election day. So it's not too late to participate in this electoral process. If you need to know where to vote, the best thing to do is call the county clerk's office, and the county clerk's office can help direct you to your polling place. All right, as soon as we find Casey Dean so that we can get the next question to ask, we're ready to resume our... Here she comes. We're ready to resume our questioning. Again, maybe the people could take their seats, and we are going to continue with the questioning. Our next round of questions will be to House District 22, with Jim Roscoe being the first to answer. Jim, maybe turn the microphone on, get it cranked up so it's ready to go. And Casey, let's go ahead and have you ask Jim Roscoe the first question for House District 22 for this go-around.
All right. Your next question is, it's a request. Describe the differences between your constituents in Teton County and Sublette County.
Jim Roscoe.
Well, I've been going door-to-door for a long time now, and I have not gone door-to-door in Teton County, so I... I believe the whole county, the whole district is made up of concerned citizens. Everyone's looking for a balance between our mineral revenues, our state revenues, and our quality of life, our clean air, clean water, and our wildlife populations. I have to say I've been focusing on the Sublette side of things, being on the Minerals Committee. That's just what I do, and so I'm engaged with the gas industry, natural gas industry, quite a bit, and I'm trying to encourage that, and not sure that I'm answering your question. I think I'm not sure what the difference is, really, without generalizing falsely, I guess.
Candidate Jim Roscoe. Our next respondent, candidate Bill Winnie.
Well, the first thing you do when you get into Wilson and that area is you go up Fall Creek Road till you run into the survivalists. When you hit those guys, you're at the northern boundary of the district. And then you come back down till you get to 22 and the Snake River and follow the Snake River down to the gravel pits. That's about 80% Democrat, 20% Republican in there. Then you go into the Hoback Junction area, it's probably about 60% Republican, 40% Democrat. And you come over here into the Pinedale area and down into Alpine, and it's more heavily Republican. But we're all interested in some things. One of the things I talk about in my flyer that I put out is environmental stewardship. They get at that a little bit differently over there in the Wilson area. But you're all interested in that here, too. Now, we want to keep the economy going. We don't want to shut things down, but we want to make sure we control things and control them well so that the environment is taken care of.
Candidate Bill Winnie. Turning now to school district, the next question, we will be starting out with Mike McFarland. Casey Dean of the Pinedale Roundup will ask the question.
Okay, your next question for school district. Since BOCES is a community-wide program, is it appropriate for it to be controlled by the school district?
Candidate Mike McFarland.
Well, I think to properly answer that, I think because of the way things were set up legislatively, that was where the money went initially to go ahead and be dealt out. And it was essentially set up, as I understand it, as a funding mechanism to go ahead and supply the schools and the satellite institutions that had something to do with the schools, with continuing ed and stuff like that. And I think that's initially why it was set up the way it was. Whether that needs to be changed is something that I, as a board member, don't really know enough about to really give you an opinion to tell you that, oh, I think it should be a community-funded or a community-held project or group, or whether or not it should be controlled by the school district. I think the way it's working right now, we do a pretty good job of managing that BOCES money.
Candidate Mike McFarland. Moving on, our next candidate is Doris Woodbury.
In both of the areas that I've lived before in Wyoming, the BOCES funds were levied by the school district, as they are here, but then handed over to an independent and impartial board for distribution of funds. And in those communities, Cody and Evanston, that worked really well. It might be something that we want to consider here. I think sometimes the community or the public at large feels that the school district is controlling an awful lot of the funding that is set aside for community, students, etc., because those mills are levied through the school district. So opening that up, having an open dialogue, talking about it, what are the pros and cons, I think is the way to look at who sits on the BOCES board.
Candidate Doris Woodbury. Responding next, Candidate Jameson Ziegler.
Thank you, Bob. That's an interesting question. The way it's currently set up, I think, is really by the way of the way the money is mechanically distributed. It is a partnership. It is a partnership with Western Wyoming Community College. There is a member of that board that represents the college and their interests. I had the opportunity to sit on that board for 2 years and don't currently now, but I think it's good that folks that are involved in education are sitting on that board. But if folks think that it's time for a change and that we need to do things in a different way, they need to bring those ideas forward, and we need to grind them through the process and debate about them and talk about them and get the public's input and arrive at a decision.
Candidate Jameson Ziegler. Continuing, as we now shift gears and leave for the moment the at-large trustees and move to Pinedale 1, Anna Kuprill.
I'm going to agree with a couple of the candidates. This, it's kind of a no-brainer. I think if it's something that we need to take a look at and people have issues in the community, whether the BOCES board is a little school board heavy, I think it's an issue that needs to be talked about. There are a lot more people in this community nowadays than there used to be, so I feel that there's more opportunity for folks who want to get involved. The BOCES board would be a great place to be. They do wonderful things, so it's not one of those crazy boards where people are yelling at each other and doing awful things. So it would be a great opportunity to open up a seat or two on that board to allow more members of our community to participate in the process of education.
Candidate Anna Kuprill. Our next respondent, Candidate Sandra Sikorsky.
Again, I agree with most everyone here. I am on the BOCES board, and it is a fun board to be on because, you know, you get to hand out money to people who really do a good job with it. Absolutely, I would welcome having community members on that board. like I said, it's one I enjoy. I do believe we have to have some school board members on there, just simply because that money does fund through the school board. And you have to kind of understand what's going on in both areas. You have to have that voice speaking as well. But if that's something the community wants, I think that'd be great. Thanks.
Moving now to the Rural East District, candidate Sean Buchanan.
You're probably going to get some patent answers when you hear the same answer from 10 people on the same subject. Again, community involvement on the BOCES board will be fine. I do not serve on that board or committee, so I don't know exactly how it all works, but it does fund through the school board and school district. But if you've looked at how we've managed our money now and the things that we've set up, I believe we've done a very good stewardship for what we have been able to keep that the state has not taken from us. And so I think that we've done a great job, and I think there would be no problems with the BOCES staying here, but if the community would like more involvement, we can sure look at that option and open that dialogue up.
Responding was candidate Sean Buchanan. Next, we move to candidate Robin Schamber.
I'm going to, again, echo many of the comments already made. I would just add to that, like Doris had mentioned, I'm familiar with other communities where the BOCES is run a little bit differently also. And I think that one of the very positive benefits of that are, an example comes to mind, Fremont County. There's some really great partnerships that go on with that BOCES program and community organizations and industry partners in that area. And I think that by encouraging the community to come onto those boards, I think that we get a wider variety of options for everyone. I think that there is a misconception. I think a lot of people do think that the BOCES is funding directly, just funding things for the kids. It is supposed to be a community education program, and I would like to see the community involved in it. I think that we'll get great ideas. I think we'll get good partnerships, and I think we'll increase our quality programs.
Candidate Robin Schamber. Now, swinging around back to the beginning of the line, we're going to go back to the at-large trustees. Answering next will be Megan Durbro.
BOCES is one of those things I really don't know that much about, so I really don't know how the funding gets moved around. I think, though, that if there are community members who are interested in it and think that things should be changed, they should be welcome to come in and discuss things with the board and come up with the best possible solution on how that board should be formed.
Again, that was candidate Megan Durbro. Next is candidate Kelly Eaton.
Well, BOCES, I have to tell you, is a very near and dear to my heart. As I mentioned before, I'm a lifelong learner. I love education. I have taken anatomy classes, physiology classes, web design, lots of different classes from BOCES, as well as going to Mommy and Me cupcake decorating and Mommy and Me sewing. So BOCES is dear to my heart, and I am of the philosophy that we're all important in our children's education, from the school board to administrators, teachers, parents, students, and community members. And I feel like it takes all of our ideas to provide the most valuable opportunities for our children. I would welcome community support on that board. And as the others said, I think it's crucial that we do have school board members as well on that board. But I feel like the more people that are involved, the more creative the process, and the more opportunities for our kids and our community.
Candidate Kelly Eaton. And wrapping things up, candidate Bob McCarty.
I'm of the opinion that if it's not broke, don't fix it. You can help but love Donna and Trudy, and I have participated in BOCES. Both of my children have. We've been very happy with the service we've gotten. Yet if the community wants to get involved, I think they should. I'm not sure what process that would be. I'm kind of like Megan. I'm kind of in the dark on this BOCES thing. But I can tell you this. We have participated in BOCES. I have myself, and both my daughter and my son have, and we're very pleased with the way that things have worked out. Thank you.
Candidate Bob McCarty. Now, hopefully, if my notes are right, that concludes the round. All right. We're ready to go on to the next round of questioning. Again, to people listening on the radio, your input to this forum is via email. Send a question for one of the categories. Indicate in your email if it's for school district or if it's for house district, and send it to forum@pinedaleonline.com. Again, that's forum@pinedaleonline.com, and we will see if we can incorporate your question. Here in the room, raise your hand. JC will come and get you a little notepad and pen and let you write out your questions. So we're eager to receive your questions for this forum. Casey, I'll let you go ahead and ask the next question. Responding will be Bill Winnie.
Okay, for House District 22, is it possible to build a coalition of lawmakers that allows property tax relief in Sublette County via the Homestead Exemption Act?
Yes. What you need to do, and I heard the discussion on the floor of the House this last session as they were debating it as to whether to introduce it, the bill on homestead exemption. And the big objection you heard around the state was, well, that's Sublette County that wants that. Those are the rich guys. They can afford to do it, but if they do it, our people are going to want it, and we're going to have to do it too, and we can't afford it. So how do you build a coalition? You figure out how to put it in their own best interest. If you look at Goshen County, they're prospecting for uranium. If you look over there in Platte County, they're prospecting for oil. They could potentially face the same problems we're facing some years out. And so you build a coalition saying, look, guys, we're not the only guys that have to solve this problem. It's coming your way, too. This state is about resources, and that's why we have this wonderful building here. And, yeah, you can build a coalition.
Candidate Bill Winnie. Responding next will be candidate Jim Roscoe.
Yes, I think you can build a coalition, and I hope we can. this is certainly not a partisan issue. This has been coming forth for about 8 years now, I think, and for the 2 years that I was down there, I put it out there. I had the help of the county commissioners, Commissioner Bousman and Kramer, come down and speak in committee on it. We also had, last year, we had the help of past Speaker of the House, Randall Luthi, from the majority party, working on it. And we got creamed by the Chairman of Agriculture. So I talked to him after that, and I said, we're tired of this. The only way so that you don't have to hear it again is to get it passed. And he told me his objections, and I think we're going to rewrite a few things. I think we can get it passed, and I think it's one of my priorities. Thank you.
Candidate Jim Roscoe. And that concludes this round of questions for the House District 22 candidates. Moving on now to School District number 1, Doris Woodbury will be the first to respond. Again, from the Pinedale Roundup, Casey Dean.
All right, next question for the school board. Will the Bloomfield subdivision's financial problems affect the new elementary school or the district's finances? If so, what can be done about it?
And responding first, Doris Woodbury.
I think the Bloomfield subdivision is a separate entity from the school district. And, you know, there were a number of concerns about building on that particular site, saying it was so far out of town. Well, as you look at that site, there's also a large housing development just north of that, and it's not quite as far out of town as it seems. I think the district has some opportunity to make some decisions about roads bordering the southern part of that property, and that's something that needs to be discussed about whether or not they want to help Bloomfield or share those costs to complete that road that runs across the south. I have 15 seconds, and I think that's all I have to say.
Candidate Doris Woodbury. Responding next, candidate Jameson Ziegler.
My response would be that the school district sits in a very good position. Even with the trouble that Bloomfield's having, it's not going to affect us. In fact, as far as the money goes, we are going to benefit. We stand to benefit from some agreements, and I can't say exactly how many things and what things, but we do have
first option on an additional piece of land right next to the elementary school. And the way the whole thing goes, it could end up entirely in our favor. But I would like to take 1 minute, or less than a minute, I probably have about 20 seconds. But the school is located in Bloomfield Subdivision, and it will, as we have, we've taken the opportunity to extend our vision to 30 years out. And right now, I know the school sits in an open hay field, and for some, that's a little bit of an eyesore. But schools are built for longevity, and in 30 years, it'll be surrounded by a bustling community full of children.
Candidate Jameson Ziegler. Now, again, that concludes this portion of the at-large candidates. We'll come back to them in a bit. But now we're switching over to the candidates from Pinedale 1 in the beginning, Anna Kupril.
Tracy, can you read the question one more time? Yes. will the Bloomfield subdivision's financial problems affect the new library or new elementary school or the district's finances? If so, what can be done about it?
I definitely don't think that they'll affect the district finances. And the issues out there, even though the school, it's a little inconvenient or feels that way as we're trying to get used to it, I think it'll be fine. I think this is a great opportunity for the school district to build consensus and collaboration with the town as it's growing and with the folks that are trying to make things happen out there and even with Harbor trying to grow our community.
Candidate Anna Kupril. Our next respondent, candidate Sandra Sikorsky.
I just don't think it'll affect our finances. We have had to, you know, fix a few roads, do a few things. We have money set aside for that. We kind of expected some of it. Our timeline was moved up by a year because of the way the school was built, and we're really thankful for that. Our kids are not in cubicles and outside of their school anymore. You know, it's out there as part of a growing experience. That's never easy. But as the years go on, it'll just get better and better.
Candidate Sandra Sikorsky. And again, these two candidates just now responding are in the Pinedale 1 contest. Moving on now to Rural East. Responding next will be Sean Buchanan.
Yeah, I agree with the others. Financially, it will not affect the district at all. Easements are in place, whether the subdivision changes ownership or anything else. We have the things in place that will keep the school operating just as it is. Our community has benefited greatly. If you've all had the opportunity to go there, it's a magnificent school. And it is a year ahead of schedule. So Bloomfield is not under, they have not broken a contract yet. It would be nice if things could turn around with the economy and speculation. Maybe Mr. Harbor did jump a little bit, and we did too, but it is a great school that will benefit this community for years to come.
Candidate Sean Buchanan. Next candidate, Robin Schamber.
Well, again, I'm just going to echo, I don't see how the financial difficulties of the development itself could affect the schools. I think we have some challenges with the roads, but I think that I agree with Anna there. That's a great opportunity for us to work together as a community to solve the problem. I'm very hopeful, honestly. I think the building's beautiful, and I'm very hopeful that we have a great development out there very soon and that there's houses surrounding the school. I think that he's done some great planning for the area, and I'm excited to see it continue.
Candidate Robin Schamber. Now we come around the table and go back to the at-large trustees. Answering next will be Megan Durbrow.
Well, I really don't know a whole lot about the finances, but it sounds like enough forethought was put into the building to hopefully protect us from anything like that. I have had the opportunity to go and see the school. I visited it a few weeks ago and went in and got to watch some of the teachers teaching, and it is a beautiful school, and I think we've done a good job.
Candidate Megan Durbrow. Responding next, candidate Kelly Eaton.
I agree with everyone here. I think that there was ample foresight to address issues like this. I think in no way will those problems affect our school district. In fact, in the parent committee meeting today over at the elementary school, we have a community member, Derry Quirk, here that gave a wonderful idea. If things were to become problematic, I don't see that they would. But we have a lot of community support in this area, and I have no doubt that the education will continue to be of the highest quality. And with Greg Ligursky at the helm, I can't question that our children are receiving a wonderful education, and I in no way anticipate financial problems affecting their education.
Candidate Kelly Eaton. Next will be candidate Bob McCarty.
I don't agree with anybody. I think the school's in the wrong place. Sorry. I do. I understand the thought process at the time, but now we had the school district had to buy a plow. I guess they're going to have to hire somebody to run the plow, or maybe Mulkowski will. I don't know who's going to run the plow out there. The county won't do it. The town won't do it. I'm sure that probably in 30 years it'll be a wonderful place. I don't live long enough to see it. So, and of course it's affecting the finances of the school district. Well, it is, you know, call a spade when you see it.
Candidate Bob McCarty. Responding next, candidate Mike McFarland.
It shouldn't have any financial impact on the school district. There were enough safeties that the board put in place to go ahead and try and cover any eventuality, any problems with the school being completed on time. I can't go into a lot of those because of possible legal issues down the road, but I think that that we're all in the long run going to be really happy with the school's placement and the way it's situated. As far as roads go, I want to thank Anna's husband Steve has expressed some interest in the town helping out with plowing the roads if it came to pass that the school needed some help. So I think that we're in a great situation. And again, we are a year ahead of schedule.
Candidate Mike McFarland. And that should conclude the round, right? Or do we have Doris to go?
No,
we're done. We're done. All right. Just making sure. I saw Doris picking up the mic, and I thought maybe I had my notes wrong. Again, to our radio audience, we are in the Lovett Room of the Sublette County Library. There are seats available. One reason you may want to come out and join us, even though we're most of the way through this event, is after the event is over, the candidates should be available for one-on-one questions and answers. This is a great opportunity for you to meet these candidates one-on-one. So jump in your car, tune in 101.1 FM, drive to the library, come on in and join us in person, and you'll be able to meet these candidates in person after we are done. All right, over to Casey Dean for our next question, which will be directed first to Jim Roscoe, House District 22. Casey?
Okay, next question for House District 22. Whoever wins will participate in redistricting. Should Sublette County be in its own district, or be its own district?
Responding, Jim Roscoe.
Yes, I think it should, and I think there's a good chance that it will. When the census numbers come back, they'll take the total population of Wyoming, divide it by 60, and let's say we have 600,000 people, we'll have 10,000-person district, and I believe Sublette County has grown close to that. It'd be great. I think it's the way it should be in this district, as you can see. It's a bit strange, three different counties, and but not one complete one. I think closer to the house districts that are closer to county boundaries are the best.
Candidate Jim Roscoe. Responding next, candidate Bill Winnie.
A while ago in a conversation with Mary Langford, she said she thought pretty clearly that the way the population was going in the county, that it would get, that Sublette would get its own district in, after the next census. But there's a bigger picture there, item two. One of the questions I faced when I went to a forum in Alpine, they had one question for me. These are the guys in Alpine. One precinct in Lincoln County is in this district, and they said, okay, we're the little guys in your district. What are you going to do for us? Hey, fair question. The good news is a good friend of mine down there, Don Wooden, had helped me with a couple things, so I had an answer for that one. But if you look at Sublette, if you look at the things the Pinedale Anticline Working Group is dealing with the BLM and the Forest Service and things like that, Sublette needs to be unified. And, yep, I'll work on that. And if Mary Lankford's right, we'll be able to make it happen.
Candidate Bill Winnie. Shifting gears now to school district number one. Our next respondent is going to be Jameson Ziegler, and asking the question once again, the editor of the Pinedale Roundup, Casey Dean.
Okay, next question for the school board. The block of four is running a combined campaign, creating an instant majority. If elected, how would this affect the outcome of school board issues?
Responding first, Jameson Ziegler.
That's a very interesting question. It's very interesting that I get to speak first on that topic. Thanks, Casey. I'll be honest, I would have some concerns. A coalition of four that would create an instant majority on the board, I think, is not a good thing. Currently, we have a seven-member board, and there are seven individuals on that board that have very diverse backgrounds, that have very diverse opinions, very diverse thoughts and processes by which they bring those things forward. And I think that is important for a school board. I think it is important to have that diversity. I think it's important that sometimes we bang heads and sometimes we don't agree. But in the end, we end up collaborating in order to arrive at the solution that we feel is the best and support it. And that's the way we do. And that's the way we do it as a board. We try to arrive at consensus and express our opinions and then go forward with the decision.
Candidate Jameson Ziegler. Responding next, switching over now to Pinedale 1, Anna Kuprill.
I'm glad Jameson brought up the issue of diversity, because if you look at the four of us that are running together, we are all four very different people from four very different educational and backgrounds and lifestyles. Our one common interest that we have is education and the children in this community. And we have grown in the past few months when we decided to put together a group and run together. We realized that we could all talk to each other, communicate well. We all have very different ideas, come from different political parties. But we can still make things happen and talk and have that common ground of education is our main goal for the students here in Sublette County.
Candidate Anna Kuprill. Responding next, candidate Sandra Sikorsky.
I guess I would hope that they're running with good intentions. This is about our kids. And I'm just going to leave that decision up to the voters. Thank you.
Candidate Sandra Sikorsky. Switching now to Rural East, our next respondent is Sean Buchanan. Try that again. Sean Buchanan.
I'm actually concerned about that also, to have an instant majority. And I'll just kind of give you one of the community members that told me, well, what if one of them decides not to agree with the others? Are they not going to be invited to the bridge party on Wednesday or something like that? I would highly encourage all of you to listen to what they're doing, what we're trying to do as a school board, and what we've done in place. There are some huge differences in philosophy. To be honest, I'm kind of tired of the hypocrisy, the little bit of deception that are in some of the ads and things that are out there. Communication is a big thing. They say they're going to do all these things. The kind of the ringleader, Mrs. Woodbury, had 4 years to accomplish those things with the community. And that's what their platform is all the things that they're going to do that she had 4 years to do. And that's why we did make a change. Thank you.
Candidate Sean Buchanan. Next, responding will be Robin Schamber.
Well, I'm just going to start by saying that anybody that knows me knows that I don't fit in anybody's circus. And if I did, I would probably be the ringleader, quite frankly. I think people know that about me, that I'm pretty strong-willed, strong-minded, and have a pretty serious get-it-done kind of attitude. I think that Anna hit it on the head. We couldn't be more diverse in our personalities, in our life experiences, in our political beliefs,
But the one thing that unites us all is that you'll see us all in the schools all the time. You'll see us all working with children outside the schools. We all have a passion for kids, and we all have the desire to involve the community, be respectful, create dialogue, and to make it a fun and welcoming environment for everyone. With that, that's all I have to say. I stand convicted in my beliefs, and I will not. You'll find that I'm sure between all of us, we will vote very differently many times. Not to my knowledge have we ever been at a bridge party together. We don't socialize together. We came together as a group that wanted to campaign on respect, dignity, and involving the public in our public schools.
Candidate Robin Chamber. Now, coming back to the at-large district, we will now come to the other end of the table, and responding will be Megan Durbro.
Hot topic, huh? I'm just going to say that I also agree with Sandra and that I hope that the four of them would be coming in with good intentions and not trying to, I guess, win over the board, and I will also let the voters decide.
And that was candidate Megan Durbro. Responding next, candidate Kelly Eaton.
Hey, I hope I can do this without crying. But anybody that knows me will know that I am here for the kids. And so are these other ladies. And in no way would we desire to make another person look bad or always vote the same so everything can be the same. I hope you know that. If you don't, come and talk to me. Because we are here for the kids just like these wonderful people are here for the kids. You don't need to worry that you'll lose your job or we'll always be voting on things and changing up everything and turning things upside down. We're here for the kids. I love these kids. Got six of them of my own. And I know it's important that we are diverse because we bring ideas to the table. And bringing ideas and creativity and respect and open dialogue is what it's all about. And that's how I believe. If you have further questions, come and talk to me. I'll put your fears to rest in this area.
Candidate Kelly Eaton. Responding next, candidate Bob McCarty.
There's absolutely nothing illegal or unethical with forming a committee, and I wish them the best. I wish I could be a part of it, but I don't play bridge. I don't know how. Okay. As I said in my opening statements, when something's broke, you jump in and you try to fix it, and I hope these gals get elected. I really do. I mean, I'm not a politician, and I think they would be wonderful, all four of them together in their little diverse backgrounds. I bid one club.
Candidate Bob McCarty. Responding next, candidate Mike McFarland.
Well, I think the consensus is a good thing. I also think that when you start talking about a school board, you do need a diverse background, and nobody will go ahead and, I'm sure, tell you that I agree with the rest of my board members on a lot of issues. We do go ahead and butt heads quite a bit, but I think in the end, the bottom line is that once we decide to make a decision and move forward with something, we move forward as a group. There isn't any dissension or questioning. Once we've made a decision, we think that we've done what we think is best for the school district. Outside of that, I think that the voters are going to go ahead and make that decision here in another week, and I think I'm going to just leave it up to them. Thank you.
Candidate Mike McFarland. As we now switch to candidate Doris Woodbury, because she was specifically mentioned in one of the responses, the editorial board has given her extra 30 seconds. So, Doris, you get a little extra time.
Thank you so much. I just want to share that we do hold some common beliefs, and those common beliefs are to listen respectfully to the community and to everyone that comes before the board, to focus on teaching and learning and the best interest of children. And my response to Sean is, I'm not a ringleader, And also, I think it's important that board members model the behavior that they want to see in their staff, their students, and in the community.
Candidate Doris Woodbury. And that should complete the round. All right, we're ready to go on to another round of questions. Again, to the radio audience, the email address, if you wish to submit a question, it's forum, that's spelled F-O-R-U-M, forum at pinedaleonline.com, and please indicate whether it's the House District candidates or the school district candidates you wish the question to be addressed to. Casey Dean, editor of the Pinedale Roundup, will be directing her first question now to Bill Winnie. Casey?
Since it is now 8:01 and we were hoping to wrap up by 8:30, I think we have just enough time for one more question each, and then we will give everybody 1 minute for closing statements in case there's anything you didn't get to mention. So, for your final question, Bill, what are the principal issues you intend to work on in the legislature?
Candidate Bill Winnie.
Casey. Thank you. Taxes. Elder care. I spoke about that in our last forum briefly. Making sure that we don't push elders out of homes they've lived in for many years just because of a tax issue, pushing them then into a state-run facility. It's not good for them. It's actually more expensive for the state. I'll go work on that. Homestead exemption. Given the question we had a little bit earlier, can we form a coalition? Yeah, I think there's a way you can cast that issue to the benefit of many other counties. And so I'm going to go work on that. I've had another thing. Education is one of my four E's. Since I've only got a minute, I'll go very quickly here. But I've seen another issue come up with the Bondurant Elementary School and how the accountants run the numbers. And the accountants can always show you that they can save money if they just transfer this one little cost to somebody else, like the parents of the kids in Bondurant. So I'm going to work on keeping that Bondurant school in place as it is, properly funded.
Candidate Bill Winnie. And responding next, candidate Jim Roscoe.
Thank you, Bob. I do have some unfinished business. There's a point evaluation bill that's out there that we lost by one vote. It was very detrimental to Sublette County, meaning a couple million dollars a year. I'm going to bring that back up. It has to do with where we value our gas in the gas stream. Property tax relief, once again, I'm going to push forward on that. I think the best thing I can do for this county is to work really hard on the Minerals Committee to make sure that someone stands up for Wyoming and Sublette County to keep our mineral revenues coming to us, like the helium bill and this point of valuation tax. I think if I can do that, then that funds the rest of the state. It funds our education and it funds our highways. I think we need to. I just want to be there as a person of good judgment, trying to find a balance for responsible mineral development. Thank you.
Candidate Jim Roscoe, concluding the questions tonight for House District 22. Moving on to school district, looks like we're back to where we started from, aren't we? To where Megan... Oh, Anna's turn. Okay, sorry about that. You're right. I didn't look far enough down on the list here. I was just looking at large. So we're going to start with Pinedale 1, with Anna Kuprill answering the first question. I'm glad you were on the ball. Casey, I'll let you ask the question.
Okay, final question for school district candidates. How should the district change in the next 4 years, and how should the school board facilitate that?
Anna Kuprill.
I think some of the changes that need to go on in the school district were highlighted in the community survey that came out. There obviously needs to be some communication issues that need to be dealt with, involving parents and community members more in the process of the school district. There's obviously a lot of concern for increased educational opportunities, and anything that the school board can do to increase that would really help the education of our students. I also want to take a look at smaller class sizes. We have the opportunity and the funding to do that here, And there's no reason why we can't allow that for our children. We don't have to be fighting for funds the way other school districts do and other states do for their education monies, and we really need to take a look at making that change.
Candidate Anna Kupril. Responding next will be Sandra Sikorsky.
Well, what I'd like to see is, again, just opportunities for our kids. I believe we have a responsibility to prepare them for college by offering a little more rigor in some of our AP courses. I'd like to see more AP courses. We are really putting together with BOCES a nice option for them to do online courses as well that will not only help them prepare themselves for college, it can be vo-tech, it can be just preparing them to head out into the world for a job. That's something that's really important to me moving forward. So I'm just hoping to really accomplish that.
Candidates Sandra Sikorsky. Again, remember that Anna Kupril and Sandra Sikorsky are running in the Pinedale 1 race. One of these two ladies will be elected. You'll be able to vote for one. Going on now to Rural East, again, two candidates. You'll be voting for one of these two. First up is Sean Buchanan.
Okay, so you repeat the question again.
It took me a second to find it. I apologize. How should the school district change in the next 4 years, and how should the school board facilitate that?
I think that we're doing this, the job that we can. A lot of things are going to be mandated, starting maybe even from the federal level. The local control has been taken, is being taken away. And I kind of disagree with what Anna said. We have the funds to spend and reduce class sizes. Right now in recalibration at the state, they're actually looking at secondary, which is 6th to 12th grade, of changing that from 21 to 25, and that's how our funding will change. So that will cut probably at least a couple teachers right now, if that was to happen, the recalibration happens. Because we get a block grant of money of how it works. And we have to decide what we're going to offer, what we can offer, by also fulfilling what is required by the state or by the federal of what our kids have to learn. So it's just not all, I want to give these opportunities. It is about funding, and it's the local control has been taken from us. We have to fight for that.
Candidate Sean Buchanan. Responding next, Robin Schamber.
I'm going to start and say I honestly think the first step that our community and our schools need to take is to heal. This has been a really tough 6 months on our district, I think, on the community, on the teachers, on the staff, and on our students. I think that when the staff feels uncomfortable, the teachers are feeling uncomfortable and worried about their job, I think it ultimately affects our students. I think we've made some good progress. Communication is obviously, if you read through the community surveys, communication is obviously a huge issue with a lot of people, and it's not a perceived issue if they write it down. Now, what I'll say about the community surveys is my own disappointment was when I read through every single response was that we were given a great opportunity as a community to offer some valuable, constructive comments on how to improve our district. And many people chose to turn that into a destructive method of engagement. If you read through those comments, there's some that are personally attacking people and destructive, and that is what we need to get beyond. Because as Doris said, we set the tone as parents, as community members, as faculty, as staff, as teachers, and the board for how our children behave.
Candidate Robin Schamber. Now, coming around to the at-large. It's getting to be a long night. The at-large candidates, again, of this group we're going through now, you're voting for two of these candidates. Megan Durbro.
Well, I think one of the ways the school district is going to change is we're going to have to look at the size and the space we have available at our middle school and high school. I believe that looking into that as soon as possible and getting the community involved and trying to figure out the best way to go about that is one of the things I was thinking. Also the communication issue and trying to get the community to feel more comfortable, the staff feeling more comfortable to come to the board, I think is a huge step, because if you're not feeling comfortable and you're stressed, you can't perform well, the kids aren't going to learn well.
We need to work on that. And I'm really not sure about this, and maybe I'm overstepping the bounds, but I think testing, I feel like possibly we're testing too much, and I don't know if there's a way to get around that, to decrease the amount of testing we're doing, but from what I saw and what I hear about, if we could get the teachers back to teaching and eliminate some of those, I think it'd be a great start.
Candidate Megan Durbro. Responding next, Kelly Eaton.
Well, I too agree with a lot of the comments that have been made. I think our district needs to start with healing and developing unity and respect one towards another. We're all important in this district. Every one of us is important in this district. Our opinion matters. Our voice matters. Our beliefs matter. We may not always agree, but being able to disagree respectfully, I think that's the key, and I agree that we model that behavior. So I would think trust and respect are really crucial to continue to work on those, as well as community involvement. I would like to see more partnerships with the community, more opportunities for the community to be heard. I'd like to do this by putting school board meetings on webinar format so that parents with children at home that can't come can be there. Telephone, email, surveys, whatever it takes to get the community more involved, work sessions. I think it's important that we all work together for the good of our kids. I'd like to see more opportunities for the children preparing for college with dual enrollment and so forth, but enough.
Candidate Kelly Eaton. Responding next, Bob McCarty.
Change is good. We've all seen The Lion King, and change is good. We've seen a lot of changes. We've seen changes at the local level, a lot of changes in the last 25 years, planetary changes, national changes. And what we need to concentrate on, I believe, as a board, is how our children deal with those changes. And, okay, we've got a number of people running, and if the school board stays the same as it is, then they have to get ready for change. And part of that change should be, and I totally, as I said before, believe in our teachers, believe in our staff. We have excellent professionals at this district, and the board needs to recognize that and not make them afraid to participate. My daughter, when I came to the board, my son passed a petition around, and none of the teachers would sign it. And my son asked one teacher, why won't you sign it? He says, because I don't want to lose my job. True story.
Candidate Bob McCarty. Responding next, Mike McFarlane.
I agree. Change is good. That's what we did last January. I think that as far as healing goes, I think that's already taking place. I think the staff feels a lot more comfortable right now. I think they, I'm at the school every day. I know that when Doris was on as the superintendent, she saw me every day, probably more than she wanted to, I'm sure. I know that the teachers don't seem to be having any problem talking to me, and I don't perceive any fear over at the school. Maybe I'm in the dark. I don't believe so. I ran for this seat 4 years ago. I originally started attending these meetings because my big issues were the curriculum and the class size. We're working on those now. It's just unfortunate that it's taken us 4 years to get to this point, but you got a board that has a direction, have goals. We got good leadership. We've got good teachers. We've got great administrators. I can see nothing but success happening from this point on.
Thank you. Candidate Mike McFarland. Responding next, Doris Woodbury.
I see change in a couple of areas. First of all, I do see a need to increase collaboration and an open and trusting environment across the school district at all levels. I'll echo what Megan said. I think we need to get assessments under control. We're doing a tremendous amount of testing, and maybe we can minimize, streamline, or make some assessments do double or triple duty. Thirdly, I think continuing examination of curriculum, looking at the vocational education offerings in middle school and high school, that's an important thing, and looking at the articulation of curriculum in all of the content areas, K through 12. Do they align? Does it make sense?
Megan, I think, also mentioned this, facilities. We need to see what's going to stay, what's going to go, what should we keep, what should we lease. That's a huge issue on that current campus. And fifthly, I think we need flexible solutions and flexible ways of meeting the changing needs in our community. And I do this by facilitating and listening and encouraging people to bring their many ideas and creative solutions to the forefront.
Candidate Doris Woodbury. And responding next, Jameson Ziegler.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for this opportunity to talk about this subject. I've got 6 points I want to try to get through fairly quickly. Number one is achievement. We've got a new tool. It's called Performance Matters. It's a very powerful tool. It's giving us the ability to drill down to find out exactly where it is we need to change, exactly the things we need to do in order to boost achievement. Number two, we've embarked on a process called strategic planning. We've got a fabulous administrator and Mr. Harnick, and he is guiding us through this process. And as we go through the process of strategic planning, we're going to lay out the framework that's necessary to accomplish all the change. Number three is communication. It is an issue, and I better hurry. Three. Number four, goal setting. Any good organization focuses on goals and focuses on achieving them. And my two initiatives that I want to champion in the next 4 years is a one-to-one computing initiative. I want laptops in the hands of all children. It's important. It's the future. And finally, the 21st century model of learning, where we build critical thinkers, problem solvers, communicators, collaborators, focus on technology, adaptability, and creativity.
Thank you, Jameson Ziegler. All right, that wraps up the questions, correct? All right, again, to our radio audience, the candidates should stick around for a little bit. If you want to come out to the library and meet these candidates face-to-face, come on out. As we're doing closing statements, that might be a great chance to jump in your car, drive to the library, and come meet these candidates face-to-face. All right, what is it going to be, 1 minute closing statements? All right, this is just a chance to wrap things up. If there was something you wanted to say and the question was never asked, or you thought of something you should have added that you didn't add, or you just want to give a here's why you should vote for me statement, this is your time now. And we begin with Jim Roscoe.
Thank you, Bob. I would like to go through this list I have. I'm a firm believer in small government. I believe that down in Cheyenne we need to defend our gun rights. We need to get state control of the wolf. We need to maintain multiple use on our federal grounds. We need to encourage responsible mineral development, keeping an eye on the balance between clean air, clean water, and our strong wildlife populations. We need to keep the school block grant model in place so that we keep the funding for our schools and the control close to home. I think I just want to be a person with good judgment down there, so whatever comes along, I can vote it up or down. I think it's we have far too many bills, in my opinion. I think we need to vote. It's good to be there to vote against things. And I'm honored and humbled to serve as your representative. I look forward to the opportunity to continue to be your voice in Cheyenne. Thank you.
And that was Democratic candidate for House District 22, Bill Winnie. Now, Jim Ross, it's getting late, isn't it?
Did you just call me a Democrat?
I think somebody should get an extra 30 seconds here. Jim Roscoe, the Democratic nominee for House District 22, making his closing statement. Now we switch to Bill Winnie, the Republican nominee for House District 22. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Okay.
As I've walked around and talked to people, sometimes I get the question about, you're in the Navy for 30 years, what do you know about business? Well, it's always the numbers side of things. In 1996, I took the USS Holland into a decommissioning process in the Puget Sound Naval Shipyard, budgeted for $1.4 million, brought it in and completed it for $900,000. I saved you guys $500,000, half a million of your taxpayers' dollars. But that's just numbers. Business is about inspiring people. The two ships I had were top of their class. And I'd be at a loss for words to talk to you briefly about what Louise did along the way to help me lead those people to that. One ship by any measure was best in the Navy at its time. But safety, inventiveness, just plain building a better mousetrap, that's what business is about, people. And I'll take that to Cheyenne.
Candidate Bill Winnie, the Republican nominee for House District 22. We now shift over to school district for the closing statements and continuing in our rotation order. Beginning with the closing statement will be Sandra Sikorsky from the Pinedale 1 race. Sandra?
Okay. First, I'd like to say this one's for you, Doc. Just thought I had to put that out there. We're all here for education. He told us not to say that. Just thought I'd put that out there. It's vitally important to all our kids to provide them with the best education possible. I think we all know that. So in closing tonight, I'd like to just thank you all for coming out here and listening to us, and invite you to vote for me on Tuesday. Thank you.
Candidate Sandra Sikorsky. Now shifting over to Rural East, responding with a closing statement, Sean Buchanan.
Yeah, thank you all for coming in and listening. Forgot to mention, I do have four children in this district. I'm very passionate when I about subjects and about issues. And I feel very good and sleep very well at night by the decisions I've made thus far being on the board. And I'm sure all of you, I'm very confident everyone would have voted the exact same way or taken the same action that I did. I know we've done made great strides. I'm very confident in the board that sits now. I'll just put a plug for an unsolicited ad from Mr. Delgado. He understands and can see some of the hypocrisies that are out there also. I appreciate your vote on November 2nd. Thanks.
Candidate Sean Buchanan. Responding next, Robin Schamber.
Again, I'm just going to thank everyone for coming out. I would just like to close in saying that it's really important to me that everyone knows that we're not here with a vengeance. I'm really here. I think the people that know me know I give an awful lot of my time for the kids in this community. I wish I had a night free to play bridge with somebody. I wish I had a social life, but any night I have free is with my own children, and those aren't as often as I would like them to be. I'm really here for all your kids, not just mine. I didn't even get to address some of the academic things I'd like to see changed. I have a good list of them. I'm a very academic person. But at the top of that list is dealing with the unintended consequences of No Child Left Behind. I think that we have a huge issue in our country with those consequences of what I call let no child get ahead. I just want you to know that in my world, I look at everything as an opportunity. And people that know me know I feel very strongly this way. Every decision we make, every dollar we spend, has to revolve around one question. Is it creating an opportunity for youth, or are we limiting an opportunity for youth? And I think those of you that know me know that I'm a creator, and you don't tell me no when it comes to kids. And thank you, and I appreciate your vote.
Candidate Robin Schamber. And that concludes the two candidates running for Rural East. Now we swing over to the at-large candidates. And responding next with a closing statement, Megan Durbro.
As I mentioned earlier, I definitely know I have a lot to learn if I get elected. And I just wanted to let the community know that I have already started trying to bridge that gap. I started this summer going to the board meetings to try to catch up on some of the issues that were happening. And I have also had the opportunity to go to the elementary school and the high school during school hours to watch the teachers teach and see how the schools have run. I'd also like to let the teachers, the staff, the students, the parents, and the whole community know that I will always be open for comments, questions, anything they want to bring to me. Hopefully, by listening to this, everyone has realized that I'm not a scared person, and I would be open to listen to your comments and concerns.
So I appreciate your vote on the second. Thanks.
Responding, Megan Durbro. Our next respondent for closing statements, Kelly Eaton.
Well, it's been a pleasure being here and seeing your faces and hearing the many ideas that have been shared. I want you to know that I'm committed to respect and listening, and if elected, that I will represent you and that your voice would be my voice. I feel like I have a unique perspective because I've been a teacher and I have children in all the different schools. I feel like it's important to look at all the different schools and all the different age groups. All children can succeed. All children can learn. All children can grow. And all children should be loved and respected, and time should be given to these children. So no matter what happens with this election, you will see me in the halls of all three schools, and you will see me loving children, and you will see me enjoying learning from children because they are our future, and they are who's teaching us the most. Thank you.
Candidate Kelly Eaton. And with the next closing statement, Bob McCarty.
I'm not a politician. I don't run for office to win. I run because it's so much fun to run, because I can say what I want to up here. And maybe somebody in the audience or on the radio might agree with me and vote for me if you want, or if you don't want to vote for me, vote for change, because something is broken here. It really seriously is. And the teachers are scared. People can pretend like they're not, but they are. I talk to them. The students are scared. This school board needs to change. And if it becomes the same school board over again, they need to think about their constituents. And their number one constituent is the students, parents, education, community at large, teachers, ferry, and staff, all of which I have no problem with. And hopefully in the next 4 years, 8 years, 30 years, the communications will improve, and maybe something I said tonight will help that happen.
Candidate Bob McCarty. Next up, candidate Mike McFarland.
First of all, thank you all for coming tonight. Thank you for everybody who's listening on the radio. I'd like to go ahead and thank you all in this community for having elected me, first off, to run and be able to serve on this board. It's been a privilege. It's been a great learning experience. And regardless, I am going to ask for your vote, but regardless of how things turn out, it's been great. And I think everybody in this county or in this school district is going to be pleasantly surprised with what they see coming down the road here. Thank you.
Candidate Mike McFarland. Next, with a closing statement, Doris Woodbury.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, you know, I am just like a regular person. And I do have a passion, however, for the aha moment that takes place when learning has been achieved. That's always been my passion. It's always been my motivation for being in education. I get it, is what causes me to want to continue to serve in the business of school. I'd appreciate your vote on November 2nd. The more public we have in public education, the better.
Candidate Doris Woodbury. Up next, Jameson Ziegler.
Again, I'd like to take this opportunity additionally to thank all those that have taken time out of their lives to come and spend this evening with us here at this forum. I'm grateful for the opportunity that I've had for the last 4 years to serve on District Number 1's Board of Education. It's been a great learning process for me, and I've appreciated it, and I've appreciated the contacts and the experience that it has been for me in my life. I'd also like to take another opportunity to thank my wife and my children, and for the nearly 50 evenings this year that they've donated to the school district. We've had a lot of meetings, and I'm very grateful for them and for their support. I also want to, the 9 or 10 minutes we've had this evening to talk to you is not nearly enough to talk about all the issues. I've taken the time to write a very lengthy piece that will be in the Pinedale Roundup tomorrow. I would encourage everyone here to please read that piece. It's what I'm about, it's what I stand for, and it represents the kind of leader that I am. Thank you.
candidate Jameson Ziegler. And switching now to Pinedale 1, here is candidate Anna Kuprill.
Thank you, Bob. I'm happy to have the last word. I think one of the things that those of you who know me and even those of you who don't realize that I have made a commitment to this community. I have proven that over the last 15 years and everything that I have done, and I will continue to commit to this community and to all of you who cannot attend meetings so that your voice is still heard. I've been thinking about this for a long time, and there are three things that really get me excited about being on the school board. One of them is accountability. It's very easy. It's ABC. Accountability. I want to ensure our school board is accountable for exercising the leadership necessary to realize educational success for all of our students. B, building partnerships. As a school board member, I will work to encourage and support partnerships with community organizations, businesses, and parents as a way to promote student engagement and success. And C, communication. I will engage and communicate with parents and community members at every opportunity to ensure that they are aware of school board activities and policies. Thank you.
Candidate Anna Kuprill. This wraps up our closing statements and pretty much wraps up our evening. I want to first of all thank everybody who contributed to this forum. Don Ballou has been at the back of the room handling all the technical email coming in. She was the one to set all the chairs up. We appreciated all that heavy lifting. The newspaper staffs here, the Pinedale Roundup, the Sublet Examiner, both contributing to the questions for tonight's forum. We appreciate that. And, of course, the candidates, we appreciate that in this forum we had 100% turnout of everybody invited. That was wonderful to have everybody be able to come. I do want to remind you that we want you to vote informed, and there are several races we have not gone over the last two nights. When you take a look at your ballot, you're going to see Cemetery District, Natural Resource District. You're going to see retention of Supreme Court justices, retention of judges. The best thing is take a look at this ballot before you get into your voting booth, because I've seen so many people go into that voting booth and they're seeing for the first time what the ballot's about. If I can ask the newspaper people, will either the papers have the sample ballot printed? Roundup will? Tomorrow's Roundup. Okay, so tomorrow's Roundup will have the sample ballot. You can also go online to www.subletwyo.com, and what you want to look at for our neck of the woods is the Pinedale 1-1 sample ballot. If you are not registered to vote, you can still vote. This is Wyoming. If you are a qualified elector, you can register on Election Day. So don't let lack of registration prevent you from voting, if indeed you are qualified to vote. If you don't know where to vote, you can call the county clerk's office. I'm sure, Mary, you've got staff standing by to take a flood of phone calls these next couple of days if you're not sure where to vote. But also on election night, make sure you tune in KPIN Radio. I will be broadcasting live from the courthouse. As soon as we get results in, I'll put them on the air immediately. Alex will be back at the radio station. She's our newest employee. She will be covering state and national races, and so we'll cover it all Tuesday night on KPIN Radio. Again, thank you to everybody. And Alex, if you're at the station and you want to come out here after you thank our sponsors and see what the other end of the broadcast looks like, come on out of the general public. If you want to come out and meet the candidates, they'll be here for a little while at the library. Again, thank you, everybody, for tonight's forum.
That's Bob Rule bringing to an end our second night of election forum coverage, brought to you in association with the Sublet Examiner, Pinedale Roundup, and PinedaleOnline.com. Thanks to tonight's sponsors, 23 Feed and Pet Supplies, serving all of Sublet County Ranch needs, at 367-416-6215 Country Club Lane, number 1. American All American Fuel, it's been in business since 1995, and their phone number is 367-6133, with gas stations in Big Piney and LaBarge, and High Mountain Real Estate, James Thomas, your Pinedale real estate man, at 231-0167. We're all hoping that tonight's election forum coverage has helped you in making your decision on Tuesday night a little bit easier. And if you have anybody in your family that you need to vote that won't be around, you can go to the county clerk's office and get an absentee ballot any time up until 7 o'clock. As long as they've got that filled out, you can get it back to the county clerk's office by the time they close, if they're closing before 7 o'clock on November 2nd, the election night. High Mountain Real Estate has some great listings. A 15 Richard Lane place in Cora that is an A-frame style house with zero bedrooms, but you could literally have three bedroom areas but no closet and window in them. One bath. It's in the Heckix home sites. It's got a wood stove and high-speed internet and appliances, electric to the property, and gravel on the road. This is a primitive hunting and fishing cabin in the beautiful Kendall Valley with within 0.2 miles of the United States Forest Service property and right at Boulder Creek. A great place for an artist, a fisherman, a hunter, a hiker. It's located about 1 mile past the place. Another listing is 28 Chief Joseph Road in Daniel, Wyoming. It's got 5 acres, and you could sell one of those lots, a single-family one-story house, listing for $139,000, one bath, three bedroom, in the Green River Ranches subdivision. It's furnished. This property is immaculate. It has grand views of 3 mountain ranges, sprinkled yard on Canyon Canal, 3 storage buildings, has RV hookups. This property is unbelievably neat and clean, an awesome place. Call James Thomas at 231-0167 High Mountain Real Estate. 23 Feed and Pet Supplies is located at 1215 Country Club Lane in Pinedale, Unit 1. Their phone number is 367-4166, and they carry Nutrina feeds, Triple Crown horse feeds, IFA feed dealer, their horse, cattle, poultry, farm, and show feeds. They do vaccines and self-service and full-service dog wash. 23 Feed and Pet Supply, serving all of Sublette County's ranch needs. Over at High Mountain Real Estate here in Pinedale, we've got James Thomas with 52A Black Rock Road in Daniel, Wyoming. It's a $39,900 10-acre spot on the Green River Ranches. This place is beautiful. 10 acres in this price is unbelievable. Horses are allowed. Also, 17 Neosha Trail in Boulder, Wyoming. This place is $199,600, and 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, a modular home in the Barger subdivision with a deck, satellite dish, high-speed internet, electric to the property, and a gravel road, dishwasher, and all the appliances. And at the Big River Drive in Boulder, there is a 1.38 acres property lot listing for $79,900. Horses are allowed. This place is highway commercial zoned. Very hard to find in Sublette County. You can put gas stations, convenience stores, motels, almost any commercial venture on a highway commercial. It's located about 1 mile before Boulder. This is in front of Larson's Boulder Apartments, which are also for sale. If you're interested, call James Thomas at 231-0167. All-American Fuel Company, with 2 gas stations in Big Piney and LaBarge, and a bulk plant for fuel and oil. They have in-house credit and financing. Call 367-6311. There's 24-hour fueling in Big Piney Station with free ice cream for every 15 gallons of fuel. The bulk plant has been in business since 1995 and is a sublet-based business and locally operated. Pinedale Station has 24-hour fueling as well. And one more listing I have here from High Mountain Real Estate with your real estate guy, James Thomas, is 1876 Wyoming Highway 352 in Cora, Wyoming. This is 15.34 acres for $398,000. A beautiful three-bedroom, one-and-three-quarters bath home with a deck furnished. It's furnished, garage door opener, hardwood floor, satellite dish, partially treed, and it comes fully furnished and ready to move into. This is located about 1 mile before the place in the upper Green Kendall Valley, zoned agricultural, with views you would not believe. You will fall in love. Call James Thomas with High Mountain Real Estate at 231-0167. This is Alex Heil, inviting you to tune in this coming Tuesday night, November 2nd, for our election return coverage as the results start coming in at about 7 o'clock. You're listening to KPIN Pinedale, your local radio station, keeping you informed and entertained.
And let's say I do. Then you'll know you'll have me. And I know that I'll have you. Don't be cruel to who a heart is true.